As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's definitely a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Wednesday, yes, it is now Wednesday, June the 30th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always lots of news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on, bookmark, becomevocallocal.com or vocallocal.org to engage in the chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. And that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo, to me, 65647. Once again, our big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you all for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. All of our contact information can be found at becomevocallocal.com or at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. Huge drops in the equity markets yesterday. Blame game and financial insecurity deepened across the board and across the spectrum. We'll talk about that today in the news basket. Of course, later in the broadcast, we'll go to John Stuart Mill on representative government and continue our studies there. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more throughout the broadcast. Let's go into that market report for this morning, Wednesday, June the 30th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading down $3.50 at $1,237.30 an ounce. Silver up 7 cents at $18.58 an ounce. Platinum off 9 bucks at $1,532. And palladium off $3 at $447 a troy ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning. A little bit of a spread building up in there, about 13, 14 bucks, something like that. $1,234.60 for a low, $1,246.70 for a high. But at $1,237.30, your gold is up $310.50 year to year for a 33.51% return on your investment in Aurum, that beautiful golden metal. The London gold fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,240.50. You can see we're a couple of bucks below that now. The SPDR gold shares picked up more gold. They're buying when others aren't, but they're buying. They picked up more gold overnight. 1,320.44 metric tons ostensibly in their treasure chest, valued on State Street at $52.39 billion. We'll be right back after these first words from our sponsors.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, June the 30th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Just getting started on today's two-hour broadcast. Let's go back in, however, and close out that market report for this morning. Out of New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, again, we find gold trading down $3.50 an ounce at $1,237.30. Silver up 7 cents at $18.58. Platinum off 9 at $15.32. And palladium off 3 at $447 an ounce. Where's that? That's a 10% decline for where we were so excited as it was going over 500 not all that many weeks ago. Palladium, again, off $3 at $447 an ounce. The lows and the highs, once more, are the gold stock market. It's the bullion market, excuse me, the gold bullion market. $1,234.60 for a low, $1,246.70 for a high. So you can see there's a pretty nice spread in there. But if you look at the Kitco.com website and you look at the charts for the day and yesterday as well, you'll see that there's these straight line up and straight line down declines. This is indicative of these waterfall-like events where the exchange-traded funds come into the marketplace and buy and sell. And so we shouldn't be surprised that we see the SPDR gold shares, the State Street Global Advisors spider on the corner of the web, picking up more gold, taking advantage of these lower prices, as perhaps you should as well. But the SPDR gold shares, again this morning, adding to their treasure house, and they're now standing at 1,320.44 metric tons valued at these gold prices, these spot prices, at $52.39 billion. Yesterday, a big day in the equities market. Amazing drops, but the decline was 268 in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, down 268 at 9,000, closing out at 9,870, well below that 10,000 mark. The NASDAQ likewise took a strong dip and closed out off 85 at 2135, and again in the S&P 500 across the board here, declines off 33, closing out at 1,041, just hanging on to that 1,000 mark there in the S&P. The crude oil this morning up 12 cents a barrel at $76.06 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index off 25 points or 25 basis points, and it stands at 85.87 this morning, which, of course, impacts the foreign exchange rates. The Canadian loonie this morning is exchanging at 95 cents U.S., down 15 basis points. The Mexican peso up 14 at 8 cents U.S. You can fill up your pockets with pesos at 8 cents a pop, you love to say. All those peas kind of just jumping in there. The euro this morning up 52 basis points at $1.23 U.S. It's moved up a couple of pennies in the last week or so. The British pound off 55 basis points, trades at $1.50 even. The Swiss franc up 10 basis points, trades at $0.93 U.S. That's our little basket of currencies there in the foreign exchange rates we look at every morning. In the bond market this morning, the bond yield on the two-year bond is at 0.61%, continuing this downward spiral. The 10-year bond drops all below the 3% level now and is yielding 2.95. These are U.S. Treasuries. By the way, the 30-year drops down a bit more and is yielding at 3.92%. In the mortgage market, we see a continuing decline here in the fixed-rate mortgages. The 15-year mortgage moves down from where it was a month ago at 4.33%, this morning at 4.05%. The 30-year mortgage moves down from 4.92 to 4.62, so it's becoming more and more attractive to get it, invested in a real estate mortgage, but I'd be very careful. I think that the price of real estate may fall much faster than these mortgage prices. Lots of big news and lots of bad news on the browser this morning. The bad news here is that the EDP employment report for this month, released this morning, shows a 13,000 private payroll increase, which is not very much. You think about how many people that live in the United States of America, how many people are out of work, and then you start talking about a bump up of only 13,000 people finding jobs, and things are looking pretty grim and pretty grim indeed. Let's jump over here and take a look and see what's coming up during the week. Okay, let's jump into that one. Here we go. This morning, let's see what we've got. The MBA applications, bank reserve settlements coming in. Charles Evans is going to speak at 8 o'clock. I imagine he's already spoke. The ADP employment just gave it to you. The Chicago PMI is coming out. EIA petroleum status report. There's a lot of stuff coming out. Tomorrow, motor vehicle sales will be released. Jobless claims. What else we got? Construction spending. And we'll close out Friday with an employment situation and factory orders. So overall, there's a lot of information that's going to be released this week as we move into the 4th of July holiday weekend. So a lot of the people that are in the marketplace are going to be taking their holidays. Apparently, the brokers go away and stay away until the next week sometime. And so we'll have to see how that impacts the market. But let's go over to this one here. I want to talk about this for a moment, because it's not really that good a news. But here we go. Thank you. All right. You know, we've heard a lot about Goldman Sachs over the past months, and rightly so. They're instrumental in much of the decline of the global marketplace. Of course, J.P. Morgan Chase is involved in it as well. But we've also talked about the British Petroleum, all of the various interlocking boards. You know, you get involved with Nalco and Halliburton and Transocean, and just keep following it through, Boots and Coots, the whole bunch. and you start to find a lot of similarities, lots of interesting stuff in there. Before we go into an article that has to do with this continuing SEC prosecution of Goldman Sachs, this is an interesting article because it shows also some more of these boards of directors, how you can flush out who sits on what, whose board. And I'm always interested when I find academia involved in commerce, because there is such a strong tie between the political parties. You know, the you always get the heads of education sitting as ex officio members on political state committees and things like that. But there's an article off Bloomberg New News, Janet Loren writing this morning. It's titled, BP to Goldman Boards Becomes a Hot Seat for College Presidents. You wouldn't think that this would even be in the news, you know, but it is rather revealing. As much as higher education and corporate America would like to be engaged, college presidents are struggling to reconcile the demands and the values of academia with shareholder skepticism about their boardroom commitments. Rather potent first sentence in this lengthy article. What are we talking about here? Basically, what we're talking about is from the highest levels of college campuses, if you will, we have people, the presidents of universities, sitting on these various boards, and they do it for a variety of reasons. One of them is that they hope to attract philanthropic contributions, donations to their schools. But for another reason, they would like to be able to send their graduates to some of these corporations for employment. So it's a two-way street. We'll be right back. Let's see how lucrative this is for those administrators.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Summer's coming. Are you prepared for adventure or natural disaster? Sea Panel makes delicious, drinkable water from any source. Make even contaminated ocean water more pure than bottled water. 100% solar powered. Goes where you go, sets up in seconds. No filters to replace, no complicated maintenance. Make over a gallon per day per unit. Sea panels aren't filters. They're desalination units, able to remove salt, fluoride, and dissolved contaminants. Peace of mind and preparedness, starting at just $99. Now, enter the word Oracle into the coupon box to receive free U.S. shipping and a free 8-in-1 stainless steel survival card knife. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com. Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Once again, embarking on an inquiry as to why do university presidents, why do people at the highest levels of academia find themselves on boards of directors of some of the larger corporations around the United States? This article is rather revealing. Again, as much as higher education and corporate America would like to be engaged, college presidents are struggling to reconcile the demands and values of academia with shareholder skepticism about their boardroom commitments. This article off Bloomberg. Marathon Oil Corporation investors cast 67.5 million votes against the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute president Shirley Ann Jackson in April after a shareholder questioned whether she had time to serve at Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. Brown University president Ruth Simmons declined to stand for re-election in May, citing time demands and student criticism of her tie to the company, which was involved in the Wall Street meltdown. There can be blowback for some of these leaders of academia from the student body when they discover where their school's president is actually sitting. University System of Georgia, Chancellor Errol B. Davis Jr., is a defendant in at least two lawsuits stemming from the BP PLC's oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, even though he quit British Petroleum's board in April, 5 days before the spill began. Put that guy up on your tote board, folks. Add his name to the last list of characters in this BP catastrophe. Errol B. Davis Jr., University System of Georgia Chancellor, resigning 5 days before the spill began. Kind of makes you think that he might have been talking to Mr. Sutherland, perhaps, or maybe Mr. Hayward, or maybe somebody whispering in his ear from Goldman Sachs. For university presidents, here's a quote, sitting on a corporate board used to be a resume enhancer and a networking opportunity, okay? So it makes you look good, makes you feel good. Kind of a networking opportunity, an opportunity to rub shoulders with the people that may be hiring your students or perhaps asking your university or giving your university grants to do research and so on and so forth. You can understand perhaps why university presidents would be involved in this. But it continues. Nell Minow, chairman of the Corporate Library, a Portland, Maine company that evaluates board performance, said in an interview, quote, "Now it is a genuine and a very demanding task with some daunting liability, reputational and financial. Companies recruit college presidents to add independent voices on boards dominated by corporate officers." And as we get into the Goldman Sachs board discussion in the following article, we'll see how that plays out. But campus shareholders question the college leader's availability, however, for board tasks. Campus critics say chancellors, provosts, and presidents should be focusing on budget cuts and shrunken endowments and are tainted by the behavior of the companies they serve. Interesting stuff here. Successive meetings. Jackson of RPI in Troy, New York, sits on five corporate boards, more than most college presidents, after stepping down from a sixth in April. She traveled to Milwaukee and Houston to attend shareholder meetings for International Business Machines, IBM, and Marathon Oil on two successive April days. Another busy lady here. Shareholders at IBM, Marathon Oil, FedEx, and the New York Stock Exchange Euronext filed proxy statements this year or in 2009 questioning Jackson's ability to juggle jobs. Maybe stretched out a little too thin. In a moment, we're going to find out why they're stretched out so thin. Quote, "Nobody should be sitting on that many boards," said Emil Rossi, the trustee for shares who filed a proxy statement with his son to protest Jackson's board domination at Armonk, a New York-based IBM IBM, the world's largest computer services provider. Of 14 candidates, Jackson placed 11th in the voting and retained her seat while getting the fewest votes for election at Public Service Enterprise Group, Inc., a Newark, New Jersey-based utility. She also held her board post there. I say, you think university president, what are they doing sitting on the boards of directors of all these corporations? Founded in 1821, RPI is the nation's oldest technological university. According to its website, Jackson earned $1.6 million from RPI in the year ended June the 30th, 2008, making her the highest paid leader of a nonprofit private college in the United States, according to the latest rankings by the Chronicle of Higher Education. All right? $1.6 million. That's a handsome sum per year to be earning to be the president of a college or university. Reaping fees, Jackson also reaped $982,628 in fees and other compensations, such as stock awards from IBM, Public Services, New York-based NYSE Euronext, and Marathon Oil in 2009, plus $403,823 from FedEx and Medtronics, Inc., a Minneapolis-based medical device maker, for their latest completed fiscal year's proxy statements show. This woman is pulling down almost $3 million a year here by sitting on these boards and sitting as the president of this nonprofit university. Faculty members said Jackson isn't devoting enough attention to RPI's endowment losses and credit issues. In May of 2009, RPI had its debt downgraded to A3 from A2 by Moody's Investor Services while retaining the rating. Moody's in March changed RPI's outlook to stable from negative. So things aren't going so good for the school while she's out there pulling down all these, you know, next to millions of dollars. Her first priority needs, here's a quote, needs to be this university, said Jim Napolitano, a professor at physics at RPI since 1992. Boy, it wasn't until Janet Napolitano did I ever even hear the name Napolitano, and now we've got a Jim Napolitano and Janet Napolitano and a Judge Napolitano. My goodness. This family is growing. Where do they come from anyway? Keeping Jackson? While Jackson declined to be interviewed, her participation on corporate boards has resulted in wide-ranging pathways of opportunity for Rensselaer students and faculty and the university as a whole, William Walker, spokesman for the university administration, said in an email. All right? So there's a wide-ranging pathway of opportunity for the students and the faculty as a result of these board positions that she's holding. So the faculty perhaps are getting grants to do research and so on and so forth. The same with the students, perhaps. Maybe the students are finding employments outside. Maybe the faculty is finding outside employment as well. Hard to say without further study. The Board of Trustees voted unanimously this month to keep Jackson as president for 10 more years. That's another, almost $20 million. My God in heaven. RPI said in a statement on June 15th, the board cited historic and significant accomplishments, including fundraising, faculty recruitment, and buildings. Oh, time was $20 million to build a handsome campus. This woman's knocking it all down and taking it home, putting it in her bank account. Jackson, 63, a physicist who formerly headed the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, has also earned praise from the companies she serves. Quote, it's clear that the overwhelming majority of IBM stockholders appreciate her contributions to the company, Edward Barbini, a spokesman for the company, said in an email. Tremendous asset. And it continues. Well, we'll pick up a little bit more on that one, jump around to some of these other cast of characters, and continue the news. Stay with us.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So, of course, who would ever want to, condemn or castigate a company for tapping into the brain trust of academia? Of course, that would be an interesting relationship, and it might be very profitable for the company, of course. Goes without saying, almost, you know. But at the same time, if we look at this pathway to progress, if we look at the pathway to sustainable development, if we think about it from the standpoint of the two-way street, of accomplishing voluntary compliance and affirmative action, public buy-in on the agenda, the socialist agenda, the global socialist agenda, the sustainable development agenda, then things start to make a little bit more sense. We think about British Petroleum, you know, how many pages on their website are dedicated to the concept of being sustainable and becoming beyond petroleum. And you look at these other companies. It doesn't seem to make any difference where you go on the internet these days. Every time you open a company corporate page, you always talk about sustainability and green consciousness. The green weenies are everywhere. And I think we may have very well tapped into how these change agents get involved, even at the level of boards of directors on corporate America. College presidents began serving on for-profit boards at least 30 years ago. That would put us right on top. Let's see, that would be 30 years back. It would be 1980. That would be just about the time that we really started to roll in to the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Movement. Of course, in 1992, was when the Earth Summit at Rio produced the official documentos. But, let's continue. And the number has risen in the past two decades, says James Finkelstein, good Irishman there, a professor of public policy at George Mason University campus in Arlington. Finkelstein surveyed more than 100 universities in the year 2000, and found that one-third of the presidents served on 1 to 5 boards, mostly in finance, manufacturing, and technology. You see how that works out, you know. The more boards, the better. One university president could be, let's say, infecting, selecting, and detecting as many as 5 corporations at the highest level in the boardroom. Fundraising tool? Universities are feeling the pressure for fundraising, and they think creating these linkages will bring more philanthropy, although there's no evidence to suggest that that actually happens. Think also about this continuing drive that it doesn't make any difference whether you're the janitor at the local Mickey D's or whether you are the, the head of a local health department. You're not even considered suitable for employment unless you have a degree, a bachelor's degree. Of course, it doesn't matter what your bachelor's degree is in underwater basket weaving, you know, how to lead a drum circle, that sort of thing, you know, interpersonal communications, you know, circular masturbation, that sort of stuff. It doesn't really matter what your bachelor's degree seems to be in. You just have to have a bachelor's degree. And so academia, lobbying for the requisite degree programs, and corporate America in compliance because they're paying $500,000 a year or more to these academians to sit on their boards of directors, is a closed loop. Very interesting cycle here for the global job market. Continuing, Davis, the Atlanta-based chancellor of the 35-campus university system of Georgia since February of 2006, retired from the BP board on April the 15th. Okay? April the 20th, explosion is at a well in Gulf of Mexico led to the largest oil spill in U.S. history. Interesting, though, that Mr. Davis here retired on April the 15th. Curious. I don't like accidental and incidental things like that. Having been a member of the British Petroleum's Committee on Safety, Ethics, and Environmental Assurance, Davis was named as a defendant in a class action lawsuit over investors' losses in the wake of the spill, said Robert Schechter, an attorney at the New York-based Zwirling, Schechter & Zwirling, which filed the complaint in federal court in New Orleans on June the 8th. Interesting, huh? The suit on behalf of the investors who purchased BP securities from February the 27th of 2008 to May the 12th this year alleges that false and misleading statements were issued by BP saying that safety was their number one priority, Schechter said. Davis is also a defendant in a suit filed in Lafayette, Louisiana on May the 21st, according to court records. The value of BP's American depository receipts has fallen about 53% since the day before the well explosion. Avoiding distraction, Davis declined to comment on why he resigned from BP. John Millsaps, a spokesman for the university system, said in a June 21st letter to the Board of Regents that supervises the university system, Davis said he won't be distracted by BP litigation. For members of corporate boards to be sued, here's the quote, is the norm, he wrote. Interesting. Quote, as a director on the boards of major corporations, I have been named numerous times over the years in lawsuits, close quote, Davis wrote, quote, not once in my capacity as a board member have I ever had to give a deposition or prepare for trial. I expect that to be the case in this instance as well, close quote. Curiouser and curiouser. Unable to pierce the corporate veil in your lawsuit to go after those brain trusters that set up the ethics and safety for British Petroleum? Well, Mr. Davis is on my radar screen. Davis, 65, joined the board of London-based British Petroleum in December of 1998 and previously served as a director of Amoco, a company acquired by British Petroleum. According to a regulatory filing, Davis is also a board member at the Detroit-based General Motors Corporation and Union Pacific Corporation, the rail transportation company based now in Omaha, Nebraska. Mining accidents? Well, opposition from critics both on campus and off may drive university officials from corporate boards. E. Gordon Gee, president of Ohio State University, left the Massey Energy Company, a coal mining company based in Richmond, Virginia, in July of 2009, after 9 years on the board. Amid criticism, he was abetting a polluter. Uh-oh, not a polluter. That would be almost as bad as a hater, or perhaps even a denier. The following April, an explosion at the company's Upper Big Branch mine in West Virginia killed 29 people. I hope he wasn't working out the safety practices for that mining company. Before the resignation, a Cleveland-based nonprofit group called Ohio Citizen Action had collected signatures and letters from more than 6,800 residents in Ohio, including students, faculty, and alumni of Ohio State, urging Gee to leave Massey, said Kate Russell, organizer of the protest. The group opposes what Russell says is Massey's practice of mountaintop removal mining that adds waste to waterways. Gee's service at Massey was hypocritical because he was promoting alternatives to fossil fuels while receiving fees from the coal company. You see how duplicitous this is, my friends. I've tried to encourage you to understand time and time again that sustainable development has nothing to do with the environment. It has to do with sustaining environmental and developmental concerns. And from my earliest youth, concerns have been known as corporations, corporations, corporations. British Petroleum is an environmental concern, and they ought to be a concern on your radar, too. Community detriment. As a university president, he shouldn't serve on boards of companies whose ability to make their profit is at a detriment of the local communities. Well, there's more to that. When Goldman became a pariah of Wall Street and poster boy for greed and excess, Brown was tied up in that. All right, this is another one here. At Brown, in Providence, Rhode Island, students expressed concern that Simmons' involvement as a Goldman Sachs board member tainted the university, said Simone Liebling, 20 years old, a columnist with the Brown Daily Herald, the student newspaper. Simmons, 64, joined the Goldman Sachs board in January of 2000 while she was a president of the Smith College in New Hampton, Massachusetts. And it just goes on. Well, I want to stay on this article a bit more because we're... According to company filings, and everything's trying to time out on me here, every time I get really close to the target, we can start to go through these kind of nonsenses. So let's just go into the break, drop off, reconnect, and come right back and see if we can avoid the delays. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your Liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I surely hate to have to spend this kind of time on these kinds of articles, but if I get up in the morning every day for the broadcast and log on around 6 o'clock a.m. and then I read Bloomberg's website from one end to the other, try to cover most of the articles on the website each day, I'm looking for clues, okay? And so you come across an article like this, it's just a target-rich zone. So I'll take the time necessary to put it on the air. But record bonuses here again. We're looking at this interlocking boards and directorates. And now we're making the tie between the captains of finance and industry and their lapdogs in education. All right. So Simmons here was a member of Goldman Sachs Compensation Committee, according to company filings. Of course, that's very important, you know. This is what gets young people to go into massive debt and pursue degrees in some kind of an obtuse educational program that otherwise you wouldn't. But if you know that you've got a chance to go into some of these corporations and knock down the six-figure incomes and more, seven and eight, you know, then it helps to keep the flow of students coming through your school, especially if you can give somebody a fast track to Goldman Sachs and they can get up there in the glass tower somebody and rape the world. Simmons was a member of Goldman Sachs Compensation Committee. According to company filings in 2007, the group approved a $67.9 million bonus. Still a Wall Street record for chairman and chief executive officer Lloyd Blankfein. You all saw that little bald-headed, deadpan piece of human excrement at the Senate committee, right, when he was being grilled by Carl Levin. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission said in a lawsuit in April that Goldman Sachs had misled investors in mortgage-linked securities designed to benefit a favored client at others' loss. Yeah, a lot of times that favored client was Goldman Sachs. The company denied any wrongdoing. And Blankfein's famous for this. At least he's infamous for it. Goldman Sachs said in February that Simmons wouldn't stand for re-election because of her need to spend more time at Brown. That's like spending time with your family in Israel, isn't it? Simmons said in an interview that criticism in the student newspaper about her tie to the bank had zero to do, however, with her decision. She remains the director of the Dallas-based Texas Instruments Incorporated, the second largest U.S. manufacturer of computer chips. Not complicated? Right now, the idea is I might be able to handle one directorship, Simmons said in an interview. It's not complicated if you know the semiconductor industry. Simmons is one of five presidents in the Ivy League who serve on for-profit boards, one for each president, according to the universities. The Ivy League consists of eight institutions in the Northeast U.S. Richard Levin, president of Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, is the director at New York-based American Express Company. We're going to give you the Ivy Leagues now, so just take notes. Lee Bollinger, president of Columbia University in New York, is a board member of the Washington Post Company, the media and education company with headquarters in the U.S. Capitol. Amy Gutman, lots of very Irish names here. Amy Gutman, president of the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, sits on the board of Vanguard Group, a mutual fund manager, a company in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Shirley Tilghman, president of Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey, is a director at Google Incorporated, the web search company in Mountain View, California. They're no small shakes either. They're holding billions and billions and billions. Google, Cisco. Outside the Ivy League, John Hennessy, president of Stanford University near Palo Alto, California, is also a Google director. In addition, he's a member at Cisco Systems, the biggest maker of computer networking equipment based in San Jose, California, and Atheros Communications, a Santa Clara, California-based maker of electronics products used in the communications networks. Now, this works out. One person sits on many boards and many, many companies, and then they go around and they swap them out. You know, Susan Hockfield here, president of MIT in Cambridge, is a board member of the Fairfield, Connecticut-based General Electric Company. So is this other one we mentioned earlier. In January, the Board of Regents of the 10-campus University of California system, based in Oakland, limited to three the number of for-profit boards that chancellors and other senior leaders can join. All right, 10-campus university, limited to the number of three for the for-profit boards that their chancellors and other senior leaders can join. But it's not just the chancellors and other senior leaders. You see this interlocking system? Stepping down, the university system made permanent the interim rules it had adopted in January 2007, blah, 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 blah. It just goes on and on and on. All right, so let's go over here and use my browsing technology that I've been developing and see if we can't go to this one. Here we go. Another Bloomberg article. Scrutiny of Goldman's board focuses on silence over conflict. New news. Richard Teitelbaum, must be Italian, right? June 30th, 2010, writing for Bloomberg. Greg Palm, Goldman Sachs Group, Inc.'s general counsel, took calls in his 37th floor office at One New York Plaza on December the 16th of 2008. It was his old boss, Stephen Friedman, a former Goldman chairman who was then head of the audit committee of its board of directors. Goldman's stock was down 65% from its 52-week high during an accelerating global financial breakdown. All right, we're opening the door to insider trading and fraud. Friedman, who had become chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York of that year, told Palm he wanted to buy Bloomberg Markets Magazine's reports in its August issue. I said it wrong. I missed the comma. So very important. I'll say it again. Friedman, who had become chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. See, we're going to get into a problem here. This is a conflict of interest. There are rules, there are laws that would prohibit this as a Federal Reserve Bank chair. He cannot do what he's about to do here. But Friedman told Palm he wanted to buy. There should have been a period there. Boink, period. He wanted to buy. What did he want to buy? He didn't want to buy matzo balls. He wanted to buy stocks in Goldman Sachs. Palm said he couldn't think of a reason why Friedman shouldn't. Goldman had made the necessary disclosures in that day's filings, Palm said. Quote, we just report earnings, says Palm, whose job includes approving trades by directors. Quote, there was no material information that wasn't public from Goldman's standpoint. Close quote. Did anybody hear Blank Fine and his testimony and the rest of the rat dogs that they had down there at the Senate meeting? Remember that? These bunch of weasels. All right. Anyway, never a problem. Nothing to see here, folks. Friedman, 72, who is still a Goldman director, bought 37,300 shares at an average of $80.78 each on December 17th. 5 weeks later, he picked up 15,300 more at an average price of $66.61. See, they're declining. They're dropping. They're dropping rapidly. Yet, by yesterday, that would be yesterday, the 29th, the stock had doubled to $133.76, giving Friedman a paper profit of $3 million. So all of this attention that has been focused on Goldman Sachs and their involvement in the derivative bubble and the collapse of global economy and the stocks went into the toilet, Goldman Sachs and all of their cronies were buying all the way down. And yet this morning, yesterday, Goldman's stocks are way up. All right? The stock had doubled yesterday to $133.76, giving Friedman a paper profit of $3 million. Well, now the U.S. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee is investigating Friedman's stock purchases. It wants to know why he was permitted to buy stock in a bank while he was regulating as chairman of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. Friedman held both that post and his Goldman board seat when the firm became a bank holding company in September of 2008. The Federal Reserve Act forbids an official at the New York Fed in his position from also being a director of a bank or buying its stock. Well, the lawyers come into play here. Perfectly legal? We'll have to find out how it's perfectly legal, according to the lawyers, after this. Stay tuned. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells.
derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cardivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, June the 30th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always lots of news today, plenty of news indeed in the first hour. Excoriating and exposing some of the corruption and the interlocking and interconnectedness of these various universities, including our Ivy League schools, our institutes of technology, with the heads, the boards of directors of the major captains of finance and industry. And just looking through this from the standpoint of just a couple of articles I found this morning on Bloomberg's website. I mean, if you want to find out what's happening in New York City, go to Bloomberg. That's my opinion. Anyway, let's go back into it because we're looking at this interesting relationship that now is being explored between Friedman, the head of New York Fed, and Goldman Sachs. Seems he's made a bit of a profit, about $3 million paper profit here by picking up a lot of shares as poor old Goldman was going down as they were being scrutinized by the investigation committees. But Friedman held both that post and his Goldman seat when the firm became a bank holding company in September. We're talking about Goldman Sachs. The Federal Reserve Act again forbids an official at the New York Fed in his position from also being a director of the bank or buying its stock. All right, now the weasel clauses come in. Now the pencil neck lawyers come in. All right, here they come. The New York Fed sought a waiver from the Federal Reserve Board in September of 2008 so that Friedman could keep his position there. Michelle Davis, a spokeswoman for Friedman, says the New York Fed General Counsel Tom Baxter had told Friedman that the rules were in abeyance while the waiver was pending. Therefore, quote, Mr. Friedman's purchases of Goldman Sachs stock were perfectly legal, she says. Legal, perhaps. Lawful, that's questionable. The waiver was granted in January of 2009. Now, Jerry Jordan, a former president of the Cleveland Fed, excuse me, says the section of the Federal Reserve Act barring Friedman from owning bank stocks or buying new shares could not be waived. Quote, it was not allowed, he says. You can't get permission to violate the law, close quote. Does it get any clearer than that? Now, you know, we could say, well, end the Fed. Or audit the Fed. But, you know, the Federal Reserve is kind of like just a holding company. It's really all the little harlot daughters, part of the greater and extended Rothschild central banking cartel globally. Well over 100 central banks, I think, have their impression upon them. But continuing, keeping mom, Goldman Sachs ties to the New York Fed pose another, you know, Timothy Geithner is involved there too, remember. Goldman Sachs ties to the New York Fed pose another potential conflict for Friedman, says James Cox. Remember Alexander Hamilton, the Bank of New York, now Bank of New York Mellon, federal banking, strong central banks. Alexander Levine Hamilton, probably a Rothschild agent in the early days of our founding. Goldman Sachs' ties to the New York Fed pose another conflict for Friedman, says James Cox, a professor at Duke University School of Law. Goldman was a primary beneficiary of the New York Fed engineered bailout of American International Group, Inc. You know that as AIG. And their bank counterparties receiving by its own account $12.9 billion for the credit protection it held on mortgage-related securities. Now, that figure was not publicly disclosed by AIG until March of 2009, after Friedman had bought his shares. We'll be back.
Summer's coming. Are you prepared for adventure or natural disaster? Sea Panel makes delicious, drinkable water from any source. Make even contaminated ocean water more pure than bottled water. 100% solar powered. Goes where you go, sets up in seconds. No filters to replace, no complicated maintenance. Make over a gallon per day per unit. Sea Panels aren't filters. They're desalination units, able to remove salt, fluoride, and dissolved contaminants. Peace of mind and preparedness, starting at just $99. Now, enter the word ORACLE into the coupon box to receive free U.S. shipping and a free 8-in-1 stainless steel survival card knife. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, June the 30th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Now in our second hour, we come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, you can log on and bookmark my website, becomevocallocal.com. It's under construction, in progress. Not much there yet today, but certainly our chat room is open there. You can access the chat room by either the quick route, vocallocal.org, or the more lengthy URL, becomevocallocal.com, either one easy to remember. Just log on, bookmark that site today, and jump into the chat room if and when you will. You can also pick up your phone and call in through the broadcast. It's 512-904-8014. That's 512-904-8014. If you have unlimited long-distance access or live in the Austin, Texas area, and our international number is 866-841-1065. All that contact information is available on the OracleBroadcasting.com and the BecomeVocalLocal.com web pages. Certainly want to thank Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis in Jordan, Minnesota, AM 1710, for carrying the broadcast here in this second hour. So let's go on and continue. We're looking at a bunch of news today. Once again, financial news off the Bloomberg website and elsewhere. But we're scrutinizing Goldman Sachs and their involvement in all of this various and sundry financial boil downs. In the first hour, of course, we were taking a look at some of the interlocking boards and directorates between academia and the captains of finance and industry. Continuing from the article here, I want to close this out. New York Fed spokesman Jack Gutt responds. Friedman, head of the New York Fed at the time, Friedman had no involvement in, nor was he provided with, confidential information related to the New York Fed's negotiation with any AIG counterparties. And if you can believe that, then believe it. Friedman resigned from the New York Fed on May the 7th of 2009, days after the Wall Street Journal reported his stock buying. Now, why would he resign if he wasn't concerned about lawlessness or the legality of what he had done? Why would he resign? That doesn't sound good to me. At the time, Baxter said in a statement, quote, "It is my view that these purchases did not violate any Federal Reserve statute, rule, or policy," close quote. Of course, what would you think that his legal counsel would say? As the Friedman saga unfolds and Goldman's regulatory and legal entanglements escalate, the firm's nine outside directors who aren't Goldman employees are keeping mum. Well, we found some of these Goldman outside directors, haven't we? As we've studied the British Petroleum catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico, as we've looked into these various interlocking boards from schools and other companies and corporations, lots of people seem to move in and out of Goldman Sachs' revolving door, including Federal Reserve people, lots of them. Completely unfounded? The board members said nothing publicly. Ken, continuing from an article right here off Bloomberg, New News. The board members said nothing publicly, for instance, when on April the 16th, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filed a civil lawsuit alleging Goldman had committed fraud in underwriting and marketing a mortgage-related security called Abacus 2007-AC1 without disclosing to clients that a bearish hedge fund customer, Paulson & Company, was involved in creating it. And boy, did they profit. Oh, did they profit. And oh, yeah, they profited. Goldman calls the SEC suit completely unfounded. Yeah, this is the deadpan little Lloyd blank fine. All right? I don't know whether the guy looks like he ought to be on a billiard table or something. Maybe we need to chalk it up before we strike a cue against his skull. Anywho, federal prosecutors in New York are also investigating Goldman's transactions to determine whether to pursue a criminal fraud case. And boy, I hope they do. According to two people familiar with the matter, someone standing behind a curtain, obviously, Mel Minow, co-founder of the Portland, Maine-based corporate library, a governance research firm, says that when the SEC suit was filed, the outside director should have immediately set up a committee to investigate, hired independent counsel, and announced that they would make the results of their probe public. Well, there's more, and it continues. It talks about Jakob Zamonski and so on and so forth. Well, a billion pages. Yeah, here's a little bit. This is a nice insult to injury. On April the 27th, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations again held an 11-hour hearing in Goldman's role in the financial meltdown. We reported on that and gave you a little bit of the sound bites from that day as well. That was the day that they really were given the grilling by Carl Levin, a Michigan Democrat. Here's the quote. "Goldman repeatedly put its own interests and profits ahead of the interests of its clients and our communities," said Senator Carl Levin, a Michigan Democrat, at the hearing. On June the 7th, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission subpoenaed Goldman, accusing it of attempting to hinder its probe of the firm by electronically sending it the equivalent of more than a billion pages of documents. All right? So this inquiry commission requests information from Goldman and they turn around and using the miracle of all of their wealth and the computing systems, they send them more than a billion pages of documents. Talk about hubris. Chutzpah. The outside directors haven't been visible on any of this, says Patrick McGurn. You have to ask if it's the setting the correct ethical tone. Van Prague says board chairman Lloyd Blankfein has made his views of the board well known. All right, well known. He holds this whole thing in disdain and mirth. After all, these nasty goy are challenging the Jewish money masters, and they're just spitting in the face of the people and all the people that they have frauded. And it's a travesty. It's a travesty, man. Unbelievable. Here's a little bit more. Just another article. And then we're going to go into some other material. We'll go back to our study of John Stuart Mill. But here's another article off Bloomberg, June 30th, 2010. House to try the second time to pass the unemployment aid measure. Now, I don't know how you feel about all of this stuff. It's all socialism to me. I don't care too much for this concept of unemployment compensation and so on and so forth. But many of you may be sitting out there this morning on unemployment, so I'm not going to insult you. I'll just read the article. The U.S. House plans to try again today to approve legislation extending unemployment benefits after a measure to do so was blocked yesterday because of its cost, all right? It's just too damned expensive to pay unemployment compensation, right? Well, it is. It really is. It truly is. But it was part of the deal, Schlemiel. It was part of the deal that you made with your employer, the understanding that you were going to be able to apply for unemployment benefits. You can't shut off the benefits without changing the legislation. Can't change the rules of the game midstream. The vote on the $33 billion measure, of course, there's no shortage of money. There's no shortage of the 50 or more billion dollars we send to Israel every year to support them, each and every person in the country. Illegitimate little box of rocks that it is. The vote on the $33 billion measure was 261 in favor and 155 against, with a two-thirds majority needed for the passage under the expedited procedure used by the Democratic leaders to limit debate. Just going to give you a little bit here. The bill would continue jobless aid through November, with benefits provided retroactively to more than 1 million Americans. Well, we'll pick that up right there.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc. Teamspeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. Teamspeak.cc.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
All right, so back once again to this article off of Bloomberg. We're talking about extending the unemployment benefits and continuing that continued jobless aid through November. And there's certainly a lot to this, I suppose. You know, it is rather difficult for me to wring my handkerchief over these kinds of issues. You know, there's going to come a time, folks, and I think the time is either close or already behind us now, when this concept, this socialist idea of robbing Peter to pay Paul, is going to just collapse the entire system. There's no way that it could ever be avoided. You continue to steal from Peter, and you continue to give to Paul, and Peter no longer is interested in working. He becomes disheartened. He becomes broke. His pockets are turned inside out. I'm not making any appeal to the audience here. I'm not selling any prayer cloths. But I've got one more day to go for the end of this month, and I will have fulfilled my budget this month. I've lived the entire month on $50, all right? I still have $7 left. And when we hear about this kind of giveaway program, trillions of dollars here, billions of dollars there, you know, this is just this kind of stuff that makes me want to pull my hair out. I didn't apply for a cash for clunkers. I didn't get a free house. I'm not in line to get free food, free health care, and all the rest of the Uncle Suck kitty state benefits that gets handed out. But this country is going to hell in a handbasket because everybody's got their hand out for unearned shekels. Unfortunately, for those ignorant sheeple, they don't perceive that the shackles of control are being clamped on. Let's finish the article. The bill would continue jobless aid through November, with benefits provided retroactively to the more than 1 million Americans whose weekly checks have been stopped during the recent congressional dickering over a larger bill that included restoration of the aid. It goes down. Representative Dave Camp, the top Republican on the Ways and Means panel, was among those objecting to the bill's price tag. It isn't right to simply add the cost of this spending to our already overdrawn national credit card. Well, Dave, maybe you should have thought about that before you started pitching trillions at the banks. Deficit concerns? The measure was broken out of the more sweeping tax and spending measures. Tax and spend at the local level, at the state level. I could share an article out of our local newspaper where the city of Cassville is appealing, trying to secure a $1 million loan for a bunch of meaningless little trivial window dressing new urbanism projects for the town, going deeper and deeper in debt, rolling over aquatic park funds and other funds instead of just reducing the price of the, you know, the cost of the taxation. Instead of reducing the taxes, now they're looking for another loan. After all, they won't have to change their budget. They've already got a line item in for that kind of expenditures. Anyway, deficit concerns. The measure was broken out of a more sweeping tax and spending measure blocked last month by Senate Republicans who said it would have added too much to the deficit. Since then, Olympia Snow, imagine that she was born in Ireland, a Maine Republican, has called for passing a standalone jobless measure. Under the bill, the unemployed would see their check shrink by $25 to an average of $310, I am assuming that's per week. That would be $1,240 a month? Time was, $1,240 a month was a reasonable wage in this country, and we're just giving that away. Where's the incentive for anyone to go back to work? Where's the incentive for anyone to get off their duffy, get out of their lazy boy, get onto the street and go find a job when they're being given $1,240 a month, plus food stamps and other benefits, no doubt? The bill wouldn't extend aid to the growing number of Americans who have exhausted all of their allowable assistance. It would only revive expired provisions, offering up to 99 weeks of aid. Just shy, 2 years. 104 would be 2, 99 is 6, 5, 5 weeks shy of 2 years on public aid. Do these people still have the, do they have their suffrage? Can they still vote when they're on the dole? Well, there's a lot more here, a lot more here indeed. Let me see if I can pull this one up. Jump over here. Got a new trick I'm trying to use this morning. Bear with me. Okay, let's see, we covered all of those, covered all of these, covered all of those. Let's go here quickly and see if we can get this one. Do we want to do it? I don't think so. I'm just going to let it. No, here's one more. I wanted to get this one. Paul Volcker. Talking about federal regulations. All right. Federal regulations of the financial institution. Another one off of Bloomberg, June 30th, New News. Volcker said to be disappointed with the final version of his rule. His rule. His rule. This is the Volcker rule. No, we couldn't go back and reenact the Glass-Steagall Act and take care of the problem. But this is the article. Paul Volcker is disappointed with the final version of the rule that bears his name. And he's sitting there. He's got his, he looked at his glum look on his face, you know. This is going to be known as the Volcker Rule. As first envisioned, the Volcker Rule would have banned banks from running private equity and hedge funds, an attempt to curb risk-taking that fueled the financial crisis. Last-minute congressional negotiations aimed at winning Republican support led to a compromise that allows banks to invest up to 3% of their capital in such funds. Now, we've reported on this. See, we're not really stopping the problem. We're not really closing the window to graft corruption and, you know, basically public stealing. No, we're not. And as a result, Volcker, 82 years old, not very happy about it. He's a former Federal Reserve chairman. He didn't expect the proposal to be diluted so much. He didn't. 82 years old, lived in the United States all of his life, apparently. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he lived in Israel for a while. But 82-year-old former Federal Reserve chairman didn't expect the proposal to be diluted so much. Brother, somebody give, you know, his cracker, his cheese slipped off his cracker, right? He's content with language. Come on. It was weakened and extended. Trying to dump me again here. It was weakened and it ended up with there we go. It's kind of a juggling act some mornings, kind of a juggling act trying to stay on air and get these broadcasts taken care of. Democratic Senator Carl Levin of Michigan and Jeff Merkley of Oregon were also dissatisfied with the result. Now, Carl Levin, folks, you know, Democrat or otherwise, you know, he was deeply involved and invested lots of his time and energy, no doubt, on this Goldman Sachs investigation. And so he's very probably as knowledgeable on the subject as anybody in the Senate right now, and probably has better ideas for what might be done to prevent this stuff from happening in the future. But anyway, it says once again, Carl Levin of Michigan and Jeff Merkley of Oregon were also dissatisfied with the results for the same reasons as Volcker, according to two people with knowledge of the negotiations, speaking anonymously because they weren't authorized to comment to the press. I guess they were talking to the woodwork or something. The two lawmakers introduced language that decreased the ability of regulators to water down a final version of the rule and provisions to keep prevent the banks from bailing out failed hedge funds. Well, there's so much to all of this. So much to all of it. It's just one, you know, in the final version, U.S. banks, including Goldman Sachs and Citigroup, may have as long as a dozen years to reduce their stakes in hedge funds and private equity units, the lawyers say. There's so much in all of this. Graft, corruption, greed, profit-taking, embezzlement, stealing, thievery. Do we not have a gallows maker left? Are there no good Canadian hemp ropes in America? Is there no justice, or is it just ice? We'll be back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And, of course, most of you have probably been excited to hear about the successes, I guess you could say, with Tesla Motors. You know, Nikola Tesla, very interesting man, but, of course, he has no relationship to this motor company. They're just using his name in vain almost. But they have a they're doing bang-up job in attracting investment dollars, as they ought, perhaps, do. But I jumped up on the website yesterday, Tesla Motors. It's TeslaMotors.com, and took a look at this Roadster. Of course, this is a Lotus body design here, a Lotus Elan, I think, body design. made in England, UK, and then sent over here to put drop the motor and the battery in. It's a little electric. It's quite an interesting electric motor. But they don't tell you anything really much about it. There's not much specs. This is maybe they've got a sticker where right by where you put your key in to the Tesla Motor automobile. It says, don't open any compartments. There's no user serviceable components. You can throw away your toolkit, folks. You're not going to be able to figure out how to work on this thing. Probably wouldn't be able to do anything other than maybe air up the tires for yourself. Everything else would be all electronically controlled. I don't know. But I can tell you this much, at $101,500 is a base purchase price, and that's base, okay? That's base. For the Roadster, that's just a little bit outside of the reach of most people, wouldn't you think? Certainly beyond my reach. And you could lease it for as low as $1,658 a month. So I guess if you were on unemployment, you could exchange your lease payments for a Roadster, Tesla Roadster, but then you would have nothing to live on except for food stamps, WIC, housing authority aid. I don't know. Maybe people on unemployment in America today could afford to lease a brand new Tesla Roadster. It's out of my league. That's for sure. You can get into the little Model S system, and that's only a $50,000 automobile. A $50,000 automobile. All right? You just can take a $100,000 Roadster or a $50,000 Model S, and it's an electric automobile, and boy, you'd be so green. You'd do so much for the environment. But how would you ever be able to justify it from an economic standpoint? You know, 100,000 miles, my Dodge Cummins turbo diesel 3/4 ton pickup truck, in the 100,000 miles, it gets 27 miles to the gallon, it'd burn up 3,704 gallons of diesel fuel in the useful life of the truck, of course, with a diesel engine that's probably got 200 or better thousand miles available to me. But 3,704 gallons of diesel fuel for every 100,000 miles that you drive. Now, they say that it costs about $5 every time you plug in one of these Tesla Motor automobiles and recharge the batteries overnight. You'll get about a 240-mile cruising range, breakneck speed. Tremendous amount of torque out of this electric engine. That's the neat thing about electric engines is that you just press the pedal down and it'll give you everything it's got. You can go up to 60 miles an hour in just a matter of seconds. So fast, they say, that the passenger can't even lift themselves off the seat cushion and reach for the radio and turn on the radio. It's pressing you back in the seat so much. The acceleration force is tremendous. Anybody's ever ridden on any of the big electric buses or the electric trolleys in San Francisco know what I mean by that. But anyway, the idea here is how would you ever be able to justify it? It costs you $5 every time you charge it up, and that's based on today's electricity prices. And as I've reported in the past, you know, electricity prices are going to go up next year. They probably start to climb precipitously, especially as they try and force all of the coal-powered plants out of existence. Nevertheless, how would you ever be able to justify this? They say that it'll cost your operating costs is about 2 cents per mile. 2 cents per mile. But how long would this engine last? How long would the motor last? Well, electric motors can last forever. Maybe it would even outlast the car. How long would that huge battery in the back last before you had to buy a new battery for it? I don't know. I'd like to see some long-term numbers. There's no specifications. There's no forecast. There's no information like that available on the website. But if you have $101,000, you could get yourself an electric car. No doubt about that. I'll drop it right there. That's the end of the news for today. Let's go into John Stuart Mill, The Criterion of Good Form, the Representative Government. You can find a PDF file of this treatise on the Internet. I still haven't posted that. The website should, though. And we'll just pick up right where we left off yesterday. A rather interesting piece. And it just gets more interesting as it goes, by the way. John Stuart Mill writing back in the 1850s again. He is credited by many as being the founder of the philosophical radicals, although his father and Jeremy Bentham and others really should take the credit for that. But writing here, in support of the position that order, that's again capital O, we're looking at order and progress, order and preservation, all of these things necessary. In support of the position that order is intrinsically different from progress, and that preservation of existing and acquisition of additional good are sufficiently distinct to afford the basis of a fundamental classification, we shall perhaps be reminded that progress may be at the expense of order. Yes, that's true. Of course, when we studied Dillevue and Howard's principle of business law, we found that law could be synonymous with order. The new world order, the new economic order, the new legal order. All of those things have been discussed and written of in many years past. But can progress be made at the expense of order? In other words, do we throw away law? Do we throw away order? Do we descend into lawlessness? Do we become a Straussian city of speech and a city of crime in order to progress into a sustainable future? That while we are acquiring or striving to acquire goods of one kind, we may be losing ground in respect to others. Thus, there may be progress in wealth while there is deterioration in virtue. Prescient, maybe? A prophet? John Stuart Mill. Certainly, you weren't thinking of the year 2010. There may be progress in wealth. Blank Fine and Friedman and all the rest of these cast of characters that we've talked about, Tony Hayward and all of the various and sundry university presidents. Progress in wealth while there was a deterioration in virtue, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Aleister Crowley crawling out from underneath the rock that he lives under. The other Loch Ness monster. Granting this, what it proves is not that progress is generically a different thing from permanence. Progress and permanence, you know, the progressive party, but what is permanence? That's the conservative party. So on the one side, you have those that strive to be free. Those would be liberals or liberals. On the other side, you have the conservatives. Perhaps you might think of them as the Tories. They would prefer the crown and parliament assembled plus their established church. But again, it proves not that progress is generically a different thing from permanence. So permanence, if we looked at permanence as being the conservatives and the progress as being the progressives or the liberals, there isn't a dime's worth of difference between the two, and many have spoken of that in the past. But that wealth is a different thing from virtue. It's not quite the same. What is it to pursue happiness? What is the pursuit of happiness? Money buy you a lot of things, but does it buy you love? Does it buy you virtue? Will you find virtue in wealth? Are they compatible? Are they synonymous? Is it the same pathway? Progress, John Stuart Mill writes, is permanence and something more. And it is no answer to this to say that progress in one thing does not imply permanence in everything. No more does progress in one thing imply progress in everything. Remember, he's a logician. He very carefully reasons through these arguments. If at first they seem a bit obtuse, go back, listen to the archives. They're available free on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Just go to oraclebroadcasting.com. Go to the show archives page. Click on that. It'll open up, and I think third down in the list is Become Vocal Local. Click on that, and you can go back and listen over and over again, especially in the second hours when we get into our teaching segment. Listen to these things over and over again a few times until you get the hang of it, get the drift. Or, better still, go up on the Internet, if you can, and find this treatise for yourself on representative government by John Stuart Mill back in the 1850s. I'm working out of the second chapter now, The Criterion of a Good Form. Once again, no more does progress in one thing imply progress in everything. Progress of any kind includes permanence in that same kind. Whenever permanence is sacrificed to some particular kind of progress, other progress is still more sacrificed to it. And if it be not worth the sacrifice, not the interest of permanence alone has been disregarded, but the general interest of progress has been mistaken. Is sustainable development progress? Does it lend any permanence? Is it actually sustainable? Be right back.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Summer's coming. Are you prepared for adventure or natural disaster? Sea Panel makes delicious, drinkable water from any source. Make even contaminated ocean water more pure than bottled water. 100% solar powered. Goes where you go, sets up in seconds. No filters to replace, no complicated maintenance. Make over a gallon per day per unit. Sea panels aren't filters. They're desalination units, able to remove salt, fluoride, and dissolved contaminants. Peace of mind and preparedness, starting at just $99. Now, enter the word ORACLE into the coupon box to receive free U.S. shipping and a free 8-in-1 stainless steel survival card knife. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so obviously what we really need to focus on is, what is the purpose of this inquiry? Why are we studying this? Why are we taking the time necessary to read through all of this? Largely, I believe that on the other side of whatever kind of a cataclysm we're faced with right now, one thing we can guarantee, and that is the continuance of government. And we may very well be faced with an endless time of corporate governance if we're not dreadfully careful at this juncture. And so it behooves us to understand something about government, local, county, state, national, international, if you will. We don't have any time right now for making big mistakes. No mistakes would be best of all. So it helps us to understand not only where we've come from, as we very carefully research the past, but also as we look forward into the future, where we need to be. I believe that it's moving into greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and despotic control. Although some people are very comfortable with sucking on the teat of the mommy state, I'm not, but you might be. Continuing, again, he says this, if these improperly contrasted ideas are to be used at all in the attempt to give a first commencement of scientific precision to the notion of good government, this is where we're trying to go. laying out some scientific first principles of good government, and he believes, as I do, that representative government is best as far as the forms of government go. It would be more philosophically correct to leave out of the definition the word order. Right? Set out of the definition order. In other words, he thinks it would be more philosophically correct to set aside law and concentrate on progress. Let's see how he develops this. And to say that the best government is that which is most conducive to progress. And hence the progressives, which came along with Teddy Roosevelt and the others shortly after this was written. For progress, John Stuart Mill writes, includes order, but order does not include progress. For instance, you can define liberty, and to define it correctly, you have to use the word free, because liber from Latin is free. To define liberty, you need to use the word free. But to define free, you never need to discuss liberty, really. Not as we understand it today, not as our founders, and even at this time, not even the libertarians. There's no need to discuss liberty, as I've said before. In my estimation, liberty, with order all over it, law here, rights, rights, or rights, liberty is simply freedom that's wearing a choke chain or a collar of some fashion attached to a lead. You only have certain liberties, you only have some rights. Whereas when our founders sat down to write the Declaration, they said that they held all these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new governments, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Certain unalienable rights created equal in that regard only. But it doesn't mention anything there about liberty, does it? I don't think so. So progress, then, he continues, it would be more philosophically correct to leave out of the definition the word order and to say that the best government is that which is most conducive to progress, for progress includes order, but order does not include progress. So very important for us to define our terms. And take the time to think through these various things before we adopt them and start advancing the means. Progress is a greater degree of that of which order is less. Progress is a greater degree of that of which order is less. Order, in any other sense, stands only for a part of the prerequisites of good government, not for its ideas and essence. Remember, we have three branches in government. You have that legislative branch, you have that administrative branch, and you have the judiciary branch and the balance scales of law and order. Justice, of course, is the judiciary branch. The Congress is to make the laws. They're the lawmakers, I suppose, or the lawgivers. And then the administrative branch is to carry it out. Seems we almost have a lopsided system with three branches of government all focusing on law without any concept of progress, but that's my inclusion. Order would find a more suitable place among the conditions of progress, since if we would increase our sum of good, nothing is more indispensable than to take due care of what we already have. Let's say it again. If we would increase our sum of good, nothing is more indispensable than to take due care of what we already have. But remember, there's lots of little bits of leaven sewn in here as well. This is also the beginning of the greatest good of the greatest number principle. This is the happiness principle. This is the perversion of what our founders meant when they said the pursuit of happiness. Happiness in that instance being virtue. Virtue. The greatest good of the greatest number is the rule of the demos, of the rule of the majority. If we are endeavoring after more riches, our very first rule should be not to squander uselessly our existing means. If we want to be a more rich people, we don't squander our natural resources on such foolish occupations as war, for instance. We don't piss away all of the oil of the planet running war machines and war toys and running over one another and dropping bombs and doing all kinds of things and digging up entire mountains of iron and turning it into battleships and sinking it on the floor of the ocean and then salvaging the battleships and going through all this nonsense over and over again, uselessly squandering our means to wealth. Order, thus considered, is not an additional end to be reconciled with progress, but a part and a means of progress itself. It's inclusive. It's included in progress. If a gain in one respect is purchased by a more than equivalent loss in the same or in any other, there is not progress. Conduciveness to progress, thus understood, includes the whole excellence of a government. How could it be possible that our government could focus so much money, time, and attention on providing a public education system and then deliberately dumb down the result? Is that conducive to progress in the long term? Certainly when we studied the symposium, results from the Princeton Symposium, Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth, we discovered that even back in 1955, one of the most troubling concerns is what are you going to do with all of these people as their means of production and distribution increases and they have greater and greater leisure time on their hands? You'll have to drive them into all manner and sundry, endless pursuits of recreation, lifelong learning, and so on and so forth. That we would have to reduce the number of hours worked each week. Now somewhere at, 30, 33 hours per week? No one can get a full-time job anymore. Even university presidents have to rush around and sit on boards of directors and stuff, I guess, with their spare time, making another million here and another half million there. Conduciveness to progress, thus understood, includes the whole excellence of a government. Every aspect, every effort, every endeavor, every product of government ought be conducive to progress. Why do we intentionally retard our systems? Why do we intentionally go backwards? Why are we going back to a time where we will actually consider or ponder embarking on the digging of canals by hand, setting aside machines and tools? Well, largely, it's to keep the people employed. But isn't there another alternative? I think that is part of what Bill and Melinda Gates are looking at, and Ted Turner, when they desire to see radical and massive population reductions. Why, then we could have full employment again, couldn't we? And everyone would have a 40-hour week. All we really need to do is to reduce the population to 500,000 people, and all the problems would be solved. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powdered seeds and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
If a
claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.